across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
On what suddenly became a wet, wet Tuesday morning here on Lake Wissota, where it is May 21st, 2024. Nice to have you back as we come up on 7:07 this morning, coming up this hour. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign was led for many years by Matt Rothschild, who then retired from there, but is still keeping busy, all in the name of making sure folks appreciate their democracy and truly comprehend the real threats to democracy. And he's doing so with a little help from Civic Media. And we're going to talk more about that later on in this hour. Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio will tell us about his 8 o'clock show that you'll hear throughout the Wausau area or through the Civic Media app. Come get that. And you can join us here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. On the Facebook page here, from Rob, good morning from Tigerton. Dense fog and 57 degrees, 3/10 of an inch of rain. Thinking of severe weather today, I found a YouTube video. Oh, no. I found a YouTube video of a young Pat Breitlow doing tornado warning coverage for UW Eau Claire on September 12th, 1982. Pat was awesome for UW Eau Claire tornado coverage. That was my very first TV appearance as a college freshman on TV 10, the university's cable TV channel for the dormitories. And yes, on this day as a freshman, or not on this day, on September 12th, as a freshman, I'd been a freshman for about 3 weeks. Oh my goodness, look at Greg. Greg has clearly found it. A very, very young Pat Breitlow with a squeaky voice trying to keep his composure while telling students to take cover because a tornado had been seen in Eau Claire.
I ain't trying to do anything right now, Pat. This is amazing. Let me just tell you, Pat Breitlow brings that meteorology stuff with a cool sense of calm and casual in that farmer's button down and some jeans.
I'm trying. Well, yeah, I was clearly not dressed to go on air. I'd never been on air. I'm trying to stay calm and informative. And
I'm just gonna say for our older listeners, if you want an idea of what he looked like as far as the hair goes, just think Arnold Horshack.
No, I would. Well, okay, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I would say a lot.
But mostly it was, who's the late director from Stripes and Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis. Yeah, actually, yes, that's
there's a lot of side-by-sides of young me and Harold Ramis.
Oh.
So thanks for calling attention to that YouTube clip, Rob. We'll miss you.
I'm so happy right now.
Your Tigerton weather updates.
Rob, do you want my dog? That's the only prize I can think of to give us this. Oh, my God.
Brittany, how are you?
Oh, so much better now. That's fantastic to hear about.
Here's a real meteorologist here to tell us about what we hope is weather that is not quite that stormy, but the potential is definitely there, Brittany.
It sure is. So we've got a lot of things going on here today. First and foremost, a dense fog advisory for the eastern half of the state until about 11 o'clock this morning. We'll probably see that thick fog there, so be careful. Then on the western edge, northwestern Wisconsin, you are under a flood watch right now. This is because you're going to be pegged with probably the hardest rain, where these storms and the rain is just going to keep going over and over you guys, where you could see up to 3 to 4 inches of rainfall. That, of course, is going to cause some flash flooding and also some rising rivers pretty rapidly. So that's up towards Douglas, Burnett, St. Croix counties on that western edge there. But for the rest of Wisconsin, we are all in a severe weather risk, from slight all the way into the Northwoods to a enhanced risk for the entire southern half of the state, to even a moderate risk, which is very rare. That's like a 4 out of 5 on the scale of severe weather that is down just to the southwest of Madison and into that southwest corner of the state. So this is going to be happening this afternoon and evening, where the biggest severe weather outbreak is likely to happen. Now we're going to see a cold front slam into the state. And as it does so, it's going to be firing up these strong to severe storms where first and foremost, the biggest risk is going to be large damaging hail. I'm talking like golf ball size hail. And then also tornadoes are definitely possible. We're going to see a few of those warnings go out this afternoon and evening. Then this whole system is going to turn into just a big line. It's going to bow out, and some of these winds inside of that line are going to be gusting up to 70 to 80 miles per hour. So that, of course, with the soggy grass and all the rain that we're getting here this morning, which isn't supposed to be severe, but just a good chunk of rain, places down into southern Wisconsin already getting a half an inch to an inch already this morning. So with all that soggy rain and strong winds, you could see some trees uprooted because, you know, the roots, and it's all pretty soggy, it's easier to knock them over. So some very, very bad weather expected this evening. Again, the first round right now is just some moderate rainfall. Grab that umbrella and get ready for this evening. Have a plan.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is going to keep you informed throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And take that wind part seriously. If there's something that could, you know, truly blow around in really high wind, this would be the day to not just, you know, hope for the best,
but to be
proactive on that kind of thing. Because
please,
again,
do.
As comedian Ron White likes to say, it's not that the wind is blowing, it's what the wind is blowing. And you don't want to be the cause of a projectile there. So, all right, Brittany, it's going to be a long one. Yes, Mr. Baca.
I was just saying, we have another weather report to give out to
Wisconsin. Another one just over the Menominee area.
It's more reported.
Third area of thunderstorms is located nearby the Twin Cities. There were severe thunderstorms southeast of Minneapolis about the time we were receiving our tornado here in Eau Claire.
It's the
those
same weather report.
Eastward too. And if anything severe should come out of that,
I'm not laughing at tornadoes or heavy winds or anything.
We'll
like
be
that.
Sure
no,
to
no,
know
no. We're,
la-
we're laughing at 18-year-old little Pat Kreitlow.
Brittany, he's pointing at a picture of Wisconsin that's just green. It's not even like
it's not a graphic.
It's not a graphic.
Send this. I need to see this.
Yep.
Send this to me.
Oh, I'm sending it to everyone.
You know what? I'm proud of you, Pat. It's hard to forecast the weather, and if you're pointing to the right stuff, then you're on the right track.
That's why I adore you, Brittany.
Advice. If you're pointing at something, you're on the right track, Brittany. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, this was one for the books. Let's talk about the Up North News Daily newsletter, because he said in a much deeper voice than he had back in 1982. In today's edition, it's about medical debt, a topic we've been following in some of our news coverage lately. Again, because medical debt is something that is growing. It's unnecessary. It is an indictment of political decisions that have been made and not made. So we'll talk about medical debt, why it's happening, why it's growing, what we can do to fix it here that's been done throughout much of the developed world. If we just had a few more politicians with the courage of their convictions rather than being dedicated to the profit margins of some, you know, big insurance companies, big hospital chains, and things like that. On a lighter note, there is also a lot of beach talk, because the fact of the matter is there are some amazing beaches in Wisconsin, especially along, say, Lake Michigan. In fact, one of my daughters had a beach wedding in the Sheboygan area, and it was just a perfect venue for it. And so you want to learn more about some of Wisconsin's best beaches, you take a look at our daily newsletter as well. And then finally, Christina notes that the state's newest Amtrak line connecting Chicago to Milwaukee and the Twin Cities begins service today. And so more on that. Again, our newsletter is upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter at the top of the homepage and become a subscriber to it. Now, a little bit more about the Amtrak service that's just getting started. Folks know that the Empire Builder is the name of the original route that's still there, but it's not at a very convenient time. It's not designed to be, because it's a route that connects Chicago with Seattle and happens to run through Milwaukee and the Twin Cities. This new line is called the Borealis. It is a 12-stop route between Chicago and St. Paul. The one train leaves St. Paul at about noon. The other one leaves Chicago at about 11 a.m., much more convenient times than the Empire Builder. It's a 7.5-hour trip, roughly. It has 8 Wisconsin stops, and the tickets start at $41 each way, though there are also discounts for various groups, such as children, students, seniors, veterans, military members, and their family, among others. So I am, Greg, very much looking forward to that. As somebody who, I'm pretty sure I told the story already, the Empire Builder, that we took our honeymoon on that from St. Paul to Seattle, you know, through the mountains and on our way to the World's Fair in Vancouver. And I loved it. I love train trips. I've been on many train trips and can't wait to take this one. Maybe that's how I finally make it down to Milwaukee and meet Greg Bach in person. Maybe that's it. I take a train.
That would be lovely. I'd love that. I used to take the Hiawatha from Milwaukee to Chicago a lot. That's a wonderful, easy, like hour plus. Mm-hmm. And I did take a train from New York to Wisconsin once, and that I won't lie, that was a mistake. It wasn't Amtrak's fault. That was my fault.
No, but that's, the eastern half of the U.S., there's still, let's just say there's a lot of infrastructure work that needs to be done. We took one from Chicago to Sacramento across the country that way. And again, the importance of infrastructure from Chicago through Illinois and Iowa, so bumpy. Yeah. So not fun. And I thought, this is not going well. And then at about the Nebraska line, you can tell they had laid... They'd upgraded the track or laid new track recently, just smooth as glass the rest of the way. It was wonderful. But again, you really shouldn't leave your train tracks go for like 100 years, before you replace them. The ride gets bumpy.
I'm going to say this train to St. Paul to Twin Cities. I want to use it. I don't mind the drive, but I would rather take, I'd rather take a train and then one less thing I have to worry about parking car and whatnot. And it's a couple extra hours. It's a couple extra hours, but I'll do it.
Could have had it for high speed rail by now.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scott Walker. That's why we can't have nice things in this state. The Brewers dropped one in Miami. Really shouldn't have. They were 2 strikes away from a 2-1 victory, but ended up with the Florida Marlins tying it up 2-2 in the bottom of the 9th, and then winning the game 3-2 in the 10th inning. So they'll try it again tonight in Miami. The Brewers game starts at 5:40, pregame at 5:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. We'll unpack more of the news, and then Matt Rothschild is on the way as well, where we talk about a new project, a new podcast dedicated toward making sure we can protect democracy in Wisconsin. We'll also talk to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio. All of that on the way. Coming to you from Courier Newsroom, this is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum. The number one song this day in 1983 was David Bowie's Let's Dance. You can check our history lesson every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio.
Fun fact about this song and this whole album, Stevie Ray Vaughan's the guitar player.
Did not know that.
Yep.
Oh, well, that makes me happy.
He saw Stevie Ray Vaughan at a jazz festival in Europe and said, "Would you like to play on my record?" He said, "Why not?" And he says, "You want to tour with me?" And Stevie Ray said, "No, thank you. I have an album coming out."
Love good collaborations, though.
Oh, that's God, awesome. Yeah.
All right. You can call or text us here at the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or use the Civic Media app. I have not asked you about the Donald Trump hush money trial, in part because you have a life, thank goodness. But what would you say is your intake of information from it? Do you catch like a little bit in a news headline? Would you say you are absolutely clueless about it, or are you digging deep into it after work? What's your knowledge level of the hush money trial?
I would say from a 1 to 10, my knowledge is probably around a 7 or 8 just because of this job.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say if I wasn't working in this job, I'd probably have more like headlines and chatter, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? But like, yeah, I know a little bit more about it and the day to days because we look it up. But, sometimes I'm like, I wish I didn't know any of this stuff.
Well, there's no doubt there. And of course, when all of these criminal cases were coming up, I think, like a lot of folks, we knew this was the most minor of them. You know, there's still, you know, what we would call criming going on here, but it is definitely fourth on the list compared to things like, you know, trying to steal an election and stealing national security documents and things like that. And yet, because those trials are being handled much more slowly, or frankly being slow walked,
yes,
one by a Trump-appointed judge and the other by Trump-appointed Supreme Court justices, we've got this one, which is the most salacious, but the least important, and also the one that Trump is most likely to be found not guilty on. Because if the jury, or if even one person on the jury decides that, you know, this kind of falsifying of business records just really doesn't rise to the level of conviction, and he gets found not guilty, you think that man is insufferable right now.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my goodness.
We're never going to hear the end of it.
But are you seeing the video of everybody fangirling for him? And by that, I mean all the guys who put on blue suits and red ties and show up in court now?
It's, you know, we talked about this. It's a level of pathetic that I never want to think people can stoop to a certain level, but this is the kind of groveling that, like, they don't get a legacy anymore. We should just talk about this. Like, people like J.D. Vance, who spent fair portion of his career in politics belittling and beguiling this man, a never Trumper, he's not good for America. And then, you know,
he's now just an absolute sphincter dweller, like Marco Rubio, who we talked about the other day. Again, who was like, I'm trying to warn the country. I'm trying to warn my Republican Party. Yeah. This man is bad. And Lindsey Graham saying, if we elect this man, we will get destroyed and we'll deserve it. And now they cannot, you know, they cannot de-rectify themselves of this man. So just to see this, what was... gave one emotion, but then there was a new emotion yesterday as all these guys in their blue Trump suits with their red ties come out to do a press conference, and they are so wildly outnumbered by protesters with cowbells and whistles, and not the Roy Kent kind of whistle.
Darn.
And they really could not get, you know, they couldn't get out the full message, which probably saved them from themselves. But the biggest bit of drama was inside the courtroom, where I think that what I'm about to describe was probably a bit of Trump orchestrated theater, where, you know, Trump's defense team called up a witness, an attorney, Robert Costello, who was going to cast some more doubt on, you know, former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Well, this guy, an older fella, really was copying an attitude on the stand, especially during objections and things like that. And the judge, Juan Merchan, basically stopped everything to tell this guy to stop making comments under his breath, stop rolling his eyes, you know, and for a time, the judge kicked reporters and everybody else out of the courtroom, as well as the jury, to admonish this guy, adding at one point, if you try to stare me down one more time, I will remove you from the stand. And you're thinking, who's dumb enough to try to, you know, side-eye a judge, stare down a judge, roll your eyes at a judge? But again, I don't think this guy did it on his own. It's just one more way that, you know, Trump and his team are trying to, like, get this message to the jury, like, oh, we're so tough and we're not guilty of these things. And it, when people say, Pat, why are you one of the few people, you know, with a journalism background who doesn't want cameras in the courtroom? That's why. It was enough hearing about this.
Yeah.
Imagine if he could have played to the cameras with that.
Yeah, I think that also, let's just say for a moment, the guy is working on his own. If he is working on his own and it was his own doing the way he behaved on that stand, he was definitely doing it to impress Trump. And also, when you see the man who's on trial constantly breaking the rules, constantly getting in trouble for talking, but never getting actually punished, it kind of just, I don't know. If I was that guy, I'd be like, it's free reign. What's this judge going to do to me? You know, the president says whatever he wants all the time and he doesn't get in trouble. Why am I going to get in trouble? It's this thing of, I don't want to say punishment again, but there's no consequences for action. So why wouldn't he do it?
No, there have been no consequences. I mean, Trump is itching to be put in a jail cell for a night, because then again, he becomes even more of a victim. And this guy, Costello, the attorney, was doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
He was essentially trying to take a bullet for Trump by getting his Tookus thrown in a jail cell, and which Trump would have seen as like the ultimate act of loyalty. Mm-hmm. It just makes you wonder how much further they're going to push this thing. You know, you had Trump coming out of the courthouse yesterday, again, calling the judge a tyrant and calling the trial a disaster for the country. And none of this bodes well for the 5 months ahead of us yet.
No, and there's nothing, going to be done. He's going to keep talking. It's so frustrating. And I wonder if, you know, if it'll ever happen in Marco Rubio or Tim Scott's lifetime where the Republican Party looks back and go, why did we let him take control? Why did we think us, the GOP of America, why did we think we were less powerful than this man? Why? Mm-hmm. And that's the question I ask. Will we see that day when they had that kind of reflection? Because it's just weird to me that you look at Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, all these people who are, regardless of how I of how I feel about them personally and professionally, they're powerful people. They're lawmakers in this country. And I just can't believe that they would just kowtow and crumble. And as Jane says, Lindsey Graham had one game of golf with him and he was like, oh, we're best friends.
We're besties. The history books, well, we hope, depending, you know, because history is written by the winners, you know, the history books are going to be colorful when we get much more of an inside view of how all this went down, far beyond this particular courtroom and this particular trial. On the other side, we'll talk to Matt Rothschild, formerly of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about protecting democracy and some interviews that he's doing that we hope you'll be hearing more about through Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin news, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends at the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Kreitlum. Stevie Wonder had the number one song this day in 1977 with Sir Duke, a tribute to Duke Ellington, who had passed away 3 years earlier. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. On this Tuesday morning, May 21st, nice to have you along. If you'd like to join the conversation at any point during the show, you can call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC. And while we wait to hear from Matt Rothschild about what he's doing now with all of our friends at Civic Media, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, we're going to revisit something that we did during our past hour for folks that might have missed it and talk a bit about the state Republican convention and some of the things that were said. But before we get to that, just a reminder that, again, if you ever miss an hour of programming here on Civic Media from all the various talk shows, it's easy enough to catch up. You just head over to civicmedia.us. And from there, you can not only find out about Civic Media radio stations, you can not only find out about the shows, but you can listen back to the shows, basically in podcast form. Every hour is a different podcast episode. So every day we crank out two episodes, the 6 a.m. hour and the 7 a.m. hour. And if you miss our 6 a.m. hour, then we will have it right there on the website or through your favorite podcast destination, wherever you get yours, whether it's through Apple Podcast or all the other ones that are out there, you can give a listen back, not just to the previous day shows, but go as far back as you want to get. So it's last hour where we talked about the Republican State Convention, and I'll play a couple of clips from that for you in just a moment, unless we hear back from Matt. But I will tell you that it being Tuesday, we have all the weekly Ag Report news that has come out. And if you missed it as part of the Midwest Farm Report, we'll tell you that dairy production for the month of April in Wisconsin was up from a year ago. All told, Wisconsin has about 1.3 milking cows in the state compared to 1.7 million in California. And last month,
Wisconsin cows produced 2.7 billion pounds of milk. And then planting progress also picked up last week. Corn planting is about two-thirds finished. The soybeans are just over halfway done. Oats about 80% done. Potatoes as well. And get this, 8% of the first cut of hay has already been done, which seems, with planting still going on, I guess, I'm not a farm kid. I'm not used to, having the first cut of hay getting going already. But again, that's how things are rolling here. All right. The state Republican convention was this past weekend in the Appleton area. And what I thought was interesting was a theme that I heard expressed primarily by Ron Johnson, but others throughout the convention as well. And that was about unity. It was about being united. So if you're following, my TikTok at all, I couldn't resist but putting together a little something that kind of had a little bit of fun with the whole notion of unity, because it mostly wasn't. And you're going to hear that in these clips from the Republican convention. And Greg, if I could jump down to Tom Tiffany's comments, or at least just the first comment here, it's enough that Brian Stile was talking about non-citizen voting, which, as we've said several times, is not a thing, not a widespread thing. It's not zero. So of course they can come back and say there are so non-citizens who don't vote. Yeah, many of them by accident, thinking that they've already finished the process. By and large, folks aren't going to risk, deportation to vote in an election. And yet Brian Stile was perpetuating that continual, straw man argument. And Tom Tiffany, talking about the bipartisan border security bill, spread this whopper that Republicans continue to put out right before they were going to vote for the bill until Donald Trump told them to vote against it.
So that bill did not. The so-called bipartisan bill, which never got a vote in the U.S. Senate.
His other one, if you've got that one handy, Greg, is the one where he really spreads the lie about what the bipartisan border bill would do.
Here's a way in which I've been attacked, I've been noticing in the last month. The left is starting to come after us now, saying, hey, there was this Senate bill, there was a bipartisan bill, why didn't you get on board? You're not going to get everything. Why didn't you just do that? It would have allowed 5,000 people a day in. 5,000 people, nearly 2 million people a year.
Not true. Not true. Let me say it again. Not true. It had to deal not with letting 5,000 people a day in, but that if the level of contacts, not border crossings, contacts at the border reached a level of 5,000 a day, it would trigger even tougher rules for people to claim asylum and come into the United States. And they know that. They know that. They know that Democrats and President Biden went far more than halfway on their initial positions on border security and immigration reform in order to get something done. Because Democrats know that the border security can always be improved. They know immigration is far overdue for reform. And yet, because one person, Donald Trump, said, I don't want you guys to solve the problem because it's going to ruin all my anti-immigrant talking points, they abruptly put the brakes on it. And yet Tom Tiffany is still spreading this falsehood about the bill, which is why we're taking special effort to call it out. All right, let's turn to Matt Rothschild, who we knew for years from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, but is up to other mischief throughout the course of the day, including, yours truly. Matt, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. Thanks for having me on this morning.
You bet. Nice to talk to you. And it was good to talk to you last week as part of a project you're working on, where you're having a lot of conversations with people in the name of democracy, because it seems apparent to some of us, but clearly you think it needs to be apparent to more people. This whole democracy thing is fragile and far from being out of the woods.
Absolutely. And it's on the ballot this fall. So it's really serious right now. So I'm doing something for Civic Media, a podcast called Wisconsin Forward, where first we're trying to unravel the riddle of Wisconsin, because when I'm talking to people not from Wisconsin, they say, you know, what's up with your state over there? Why are you so divided? And, or I thought you used to be a progressive state. What happened to Wisconsin? So I try to answer both those questions in this podcast, and also take a real close look at the coming election. For instance, yesterday I interviewed Charles Franklin of the Marquette Law School poll, and he gave me some real granular data about what's going on in Wisconsin. How come we're so close? You know, four of the last six elections at the presidential level in Wisconsin have been decided by less than 30,000 votes. I mean, that's just a razor thin margin. And then we're looking at you know, where the shift is right now in Wisconsin. So that's going to be one episode of the podcast. And then we'll look at other issues too, like school privatization, money in politics, gerrymandering. And it was a pleasure driving up to Chippewa Falls and talking with you last week, Pat, and also former State Senator Kathy Bernier.
Yeah, with you and I talked about the rural-urban divide, and I talked about the extent to which it really has been exacerbated by people for cynical political matters, that the natural divide is not nearly as wide as certain political figures want to make it out to be, but they've been exploiting it. Kathy Bernier was a Chippewa County clerk for many years before being elected to the legislature. So she knows intimately how elections work and was able to talk to you at length about, again, just telling the truth about Wisconsin elections being fair and accurate, and not, you know, not essentially villainizing the many 1,800 of them local election clerks who work so hard on behalf of all of us.
Right. And this is why I admire Senator Kathy Bernier, because we don't agree a lot on politics, yeah, on specific issues, but because she was chairman of the Chippewa County Republican Party and a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. But, you know, she was our own little Liz Cheney here in Wisconsin, because she really stuck her neck out when all the propaganda was swirling about the so-called stolen election and the so-called fraud that was going on, which was a bunch of nonsense. But no a Republican official in a power in Wisconsin dared to tell the truth, dared to tell Wisconsinites what was really going on, and dared to stand up to Trump and these Trump propagandists like Michael Gabelman, for instance, or Janelle Brangin, who was head of the Assembly Committee on Elections there for a while. But Kathy Bernier stood up. I mean, she's a one tough woman, whether she's talking about election integrity and how safe and how many checks and balances we have in our electoral system here. She knows it because, as you said, Pat, she was a clerk here for many years in Chippewa Falls. And she understands that it's almost impossible for any significant shenanigans to happen, because the clerks are there doing their job. There are a lot of checks and balances in the system. And so when she heard Gabelman and Brangin and Trump talking their nonsense, she stood up and said, stop it, cut it out. You're misleading the people of Wisconsin. And she took a lot of grief for it from her own side. But, you know, that's what courage means. She was a profile in courage here in Wisconsin.
And here's the thing. When you are a truthful person like that, even though, again, like you, there are many positions where Kathy Bernier and I don't see eye to eye, but because she is willing to be truthful in her positions, it makes it more likely that when she says something that I think I won't agree with, I'm going to give it more of a listen. And here's what I mean. Last week, right before the three of us met and recorded those episodes, the Assembly Elections Committee and the Senate Elections Committee were having a joint committee hearing. They were talking about IDs and whether ID cards could or should list citizen or non-citizen on there. And so that when Republicans were casting doubt on the process or pushing for the process, I was less inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt. When Kathy Bernier said there were things that she heard from officials at the Department of Transportation that might raise a concern about how these cards would be done, I'm going to listen to that. Because I will take her at her word that I should look into, is there something in it? Did she see something as an expert that maybe people at the DOT missed that would help you improve you know, voting ID. Now, again, she might be wrong, but at least I'm going to take her seriously because she has a record of being honest about these things and not politically expedient at the cost of your honesty.
And she also is a workhorse. I mean, she worked real hard on a bill to protect the rights of disabled voters in Wisconsin, for instance. And she was working across the aisle. She was working with Disability Rights Wisconsin for months and months, meeting with some of their leaders and trying to craft a bill that would protect the rights of Wisconsin voters who are disabled or in nursing homes. That bill didn't pass, but the fact that she was sitting there working with some of the leaders of Disability Rights Wisconsin, that said a lot to me as well. So, you know, I admire Senator Bernier. She's now with a group called Keep Our Republic. She's the state director in Wisconsin for Keep Our Republic, which is a bipartisan group of moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans, mostly former elected officials, who want to make sure that our election, that there's no hanky-panky in our election this time around. And she and her group, Keep Our Republic, want to reassure the people of Wisconsin and the people across the country that our electoral system works well. And
exactly.
So enough of the propaganda. People should go out and vote, feel confident that their vote will be counted accurately and that the results will be accurate.
And again, this Keep Our Republic is a truly bipartisan group, truly dedicated toward actual election integrity. I know we've talked earlier with Lee Rosh from La Crosse and former House Majority Leader Dick Gephardt from Missouri. People may be thinking, oh, okay, so this is you know, more of a Democratic group. No, between Kathy Bernier and others, this is the group that I think folks really would want to follow, as they would want to follow Matt Rothschild, who is going to be working on this podcast series. Do we have any idea? Is it, it's still very much a work in progress, right?
Yeah, before the conventions, it'll be out.
Okay, there we go. So be looking for that. We really, I know everybody at Civic Media is very thankful to have you taking on this activity for them and for joining our show today. Matt, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Pat, my pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Good to talk to you. That's Matt Rothschild, most recently executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. When we come back, Chad Holmes will tell us about his show coming up on Bull Falls Radio across the Wausau area and on the Civic Media app. That's next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can feel it. There's a little tune that you're going to hear again in about 15 minutes when Chad Holmes begins his excellent radio show in the Wausau area on Bull Falls Radio. You can also hear it through the Civic Media app if you're not in the Wausau area. Mr. Holmes is also chasing sports teams hither and yon, especially since hither and yon switched conferences. Now they he's got to get this bus everywhere. What did you? They changed a game time on you yesterday, and you couldn't get to one game because you're at another.
No, you're reaching for a raw piece of me right
now. I'm looking to, I'm just highlighting to the folks.
He's trying to get the story, well, Chad Holmes.
Yesterday, they moved up. Wausau West was supposed to play Menominee today in a playoff game. And,
okay.
I got apparently falling through the cracks because I did not get the word. I did not hear about it.
Oh, you didn't get the memo. Okay.
Until about 2 hours and 15 minutes before game time, and being Wausau is somewhere in that general vicinity of that length to get to Menominee, I could not get there. And that kind of was like, oh, how did this happen? So I missed out on that, but I do get to go up and do another game today with Pneuma Catholic. So in the end, it's all good, but it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, for a little while you get kind of annoyed.
For as many games as you have to cover and all the miles to travel, I trust me, I know your dedication, but I would have a little voice in my head going, oh, there's a couple of hours I suddenly have free so I can get some other stuff done.
Well, and also I'm kind of following with this online app that kind of gives you updates on the scores. And they lost 10-2. So in the end, it was like, all right, I didn't miss out on a whole lot. Yeah,
there you go. Kind of like the way I felt watching the Brewers last night, you know, just kind of, what's the safe word? Throw the game away in the bottom of the ninth.
Poop the bed.
Let's say that.
I think if one of your players steals home, you get to automatically win. That's it.
Just it really pack should. It up and I mean, go home. I haven't even mentioned that the whole time because I've been so annoyed about how the game ended that Christian Yelich, stole home during the game. His first first time ever stealing home in a game, which is always exciting.
And I had not even thought about it till last night. I have a sports guest on Fridays, and we were talking about the Brewers on Friday, and I completely kind of put to the side the whole idea of Devin Williams being out, you know, because everything's been going pretty well, you know.
Really?
And then all of a sudden now you see, well, if we would have had the closer there, then they could have, you know, wrapped it up, you know, 95% of the time last night. So, but they've covered for losses so often. Now another starter goes on the DL. I mean, it's been crazy that they're in first place right now and with a bunch of guys that have come out of nowhere. So again, Pat Murphy's done a fantastic job and Matt Arnold as well. So but it's such a long season. I keep like feeling like they're walking across a thin line right here where it's like at some point all this is going to catch up to them.
Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, Joe Ross, the starting pitcher, went out in the first inning, strained something in his back. And so, I mean, it was they had to go through so many pitchers that they finally got to who was the one? Mitch White in the ninth inning. Again, why? I'm like, I hadn't heard of him. Yeah, because this is the third team he's pitched for this season. And when he made his debut over the weekend, he kind of gave that game away. And he gave this game away in the bottom of the ninth inning as well. But again, when your entire regular pitching core is in a mash unit, you know, you're going to have games like this.
Well,
you get to your seventh pitcher or whatever it was last night, you're looking for the guy that's basically tossing the peanuts. Hey, you got a good arm, get out there and put to it. I'd
kind of like to see that.
Yeah. I kind of just, I don't like to do this and be nostalgic, but could you imagine this team right now with Burns and Hader? And
Woodruff.
I mean, it's been a little, you know, it's been inconsistent, which I'm used to as a Brewers fan, but the sports analysis have actually had to rework their projections because they didn't expect the Brewers to be playing this well at all.
Mm-hmm. You know, that brings up a point, and maybe, I'm going to be This is kind of a big picture thing between that and polls.
Yeah.
Because I go onto the onto one of the websites, I think it's the CBS one, and they have projected wins, projected percentage of making the playoffs, projected percentage of winning the division, which is all meaningless. And I may be making no friends anywhere in the Civic Media Radio Network, but I am really, really tired of the deity that has been made of Charles Franklin.
Oh, the deification. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I love Matt Rothschild. I love other folks that come on this network. But every time I hear, well, we're going to talk to Charles Franklin again about the polls, I want to bang my head against the hardest piece of rock outside the studio.
Chad Holmes going for the crown. Oh, my God.
But I am so tired. I mean, I'm not going to name names.
You just did.
I named one. No. I'm not going to name another name. But there's a person that is a regular guest on this network. And again, I love all the people. But I think it was either the time before or around that time, a couple months ago, I'm here at the Marquette University waiting for the release of the poll. I just want to pull my hair out when people make such a big deal out of these polls. I've had enough, and I will tune into Matt Rothschild. But the first name out of his mouth that he's bringing on that podcast is Charles Franklin to talk about polls. Ugh.
If you ever want to actually, Greg, take this conversation and crank it up another notch, we bring in Scott Ross, formerly of One Wisconsin Now.
Oh,
and you just say, Charles Franklin, go, because again, some very strong opinions on there, which we don't have the time to get into. But so you've got either it about the person, or you've got it about polling, and polling itself is broken, especially in this, especially in this state. It's so closely divided; it just can't work.
I'm not saying Charles Franklin's a bad guy.
We got Scott Ross. We'll say that stuff.
But I am just so tired of pretending that polls replaces real coverage.
There you go. That's where we're trying to go on this.
And I think there's been a lot of talk this political season, honestly, from a lot of people of all sources saying they're fine, but they're not the end all be all.
No, but in an era of, you know, content, get me content. I need content. I got to fill, you know, that's content. Yeah. And people choose, some people choose to go with it. We, you know, we don't ignore the Marquette poll, but we really just kind of get to the top line numbers. And even that's too much for some people, like spicy Chad Holmes, who joins us today.
Just going for the king. Holy cow.
Get your Civic Media app, because I don't know how he's going to start the show, but he's coming in hot. Just trust me.
And if you need to go through a lot of podcasts really quickly, like yours, just go faster than you'll sound like you did back in 1982.
oh, we're ending on this note. Thanks for joining us, Chad. Thanks for joining us, everybody.